the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and Chris Prytower.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's Lifetime Income.
And I'm Chris Prytower. This week's program is in response to several listeners' interest in the new retirement bill that's working its way through Congress and which retirement plans are best in saving for retirement. So today we're going to be covering several requests for topics to be explored on the program. And I should say, we really appreciate hearing from you, our listeners, on topics that you'd like us to cover on this program, especially since this program is designed to help you navigate life financially and to prosper. So, Jim, this new retirement bill that's working its way through Congress, it's got widespread support from both parties. It appears to be the biggest sweeping change to retirement plans since 2006. In fact, it passed by a 417-3 vote in the House. It's now on its way to the Senate, and it is expected to be passed and then, of course, signed by the president. So how do you see the significance of this bill, Jim?
First of all, what you're talking about, Chris, I love the way Congress comes up with names. The name of the bill is called Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement or SECURE Act. Never accuse them of not being verbose. But anyway, there are several key provisions to this bill that make it stand out. And I want to cover basically the main points of the bill. There's a couple minor stuff that isn't worth talking about. The first is that it would allow 401k-type plans to offer annuities. And that's a type of insurance contract that guarantees a monthly income stream as long as the retiree lives. Now, what this does, it allows the employer to incorporate a feature of the old-fashioned pension plan, similar to what we call defined benefit plans of the late, let's say, 60s and 70s, which were very much common in corporate America. What happened is at the end of the 70s, employers shifted the burden for planning for retirement from themselves to you, the worker. And so today, what we have is the 401k plan. The thing that the 401k plan does not do, it does not offer any lifetime guarantees to employees when they retire. Basically, what they can earn on what they've saved up in the plan is all that they get when they retire. Well, if you think about it, in today's low interest rate environment, that really isn't much when you consider, for example, safe investments like CDs at the bank or 10-year treasuries barely pay 1 and 2%. Now, you compare that to the turn of the century, when it was very easy, you could have got a 5 to 7% rate of return. And remember, the previous decade, the stock market was going up 15 to 20% a year. Well, that certainly isn't the case today. So the defined benefit plans that companies used to offer employees when they retired were basically essentially annuities. What a company did back in those days is they would put money aside every year for their retirement plan. They were required by law to fund the pension. Then what would happen is based on your years of service, 20, 25 years, and what your salary was, what the company would do is they'd take a chunk of money, they'd go to an insurance company, and they'd say, you know, based on Mr. and Mrs. Jones's life, what would you give them for the rest of their life with this pot of the money? So basically, it was an annuity. Now, this is an attempt to make that option available to employees when they retire. So an employee at the time of retirement would have a couple of choices. They could choose, for example, to receive their 401k in a lump sum, roll over the proceeds to an IRA rollover, or take the risk of trying to earn a decent return in the financial markets versus, let's say instead, you will now have the option to take a guaranteed monthly check that you would receive for the rest of your life, depending on the options also for your spouse as well. The other major change in the plan, and this is, I'm glad to see they're moving in this direction, and we'll talk about where I think they're going to be correcting Social Security in the future here in just a moment. They're going to repeal the age cap for contributing to traditional individual retirement accounts from age 70 and a half, and also the age which you must take mandatory withdrawals, which is also 70 and a half. They're going to bump that up to age 72 from the current rules of 70 and a half. Now, there are a couple other minor aspects, from letting employers to, let's say, band together to offer 401k plans. Another benefit of this bill would allow part-time employees to be able to participate in 401k plans. They would also allow for withdrawals of as much as $10,000 from a 529 plan for repayment of student debts. Now, here's the bad part. In order to pay for the plan, and this is really going to affect those if you have children that are going to inherit an IRA or a pension from the parents. Right now, the current law is there's something you can put into effect. It's called an IRA stretch. And what that means is, let's say, Chris, you were my son and you were going to inherit, I don't know, let's just say $1 million from me. Your life expectancy is 30 years. You could take out that $1 million over a 30-year period. In other words, you could spread out the payments. Well, basically, that allowed you to take that income out over time, hopefully at a lower tax bracket. What they're proposing in order to pay for these new benefits is that the heirs would have to take their distributions within a decade, and that is suspected to raise somewhere in the neighborhood of $16 billion in new taxes. So the essential provisions of this bill is adding an annuity option to a 401k, two, postponing the mandatory distributions to age 72, and also allowing you to contribute to a 401k program to age 72. So those are the main provisions of the bill.
Well, and I should mention to our listeners, on the Lifetime Income Program, we really strive for authenticity. So to make sure that we are giving you the most accurate information, the anecdote that Jim just gave you about if I were his son and me being able to take out $1 million, we're actually going to do that in real life to make sure it goes smoothly. So, Jim, I'm going to send you the paperwork so we can get that going, and then we'll report to our listeners later how that went.
Yeah, you can tell them how you're spending the money.
Yeah, of course. And that can be a completely different episode of Lifetime Income. So, listeners, do stay tuned. I think that's going to be a fun show. In the meantime, though, this bill that we're talking about, Jim, and I think you've described it really well. I want to know, though, what do you personally think of it? I mean, do you think that it makes things better for retirees, or do you think it makes things worse? Or what about those folks that are saving for retirement?
You know, I think this does enhance retirement options with 401k plans. And let me tell you what was the thinking of Congress leading up to this and why we're even talking about a bill like this. If you go back to, let's say, when I got in the business in 1980, you know, most people worked for a company. They had a pension that the company gave them when they retired. And the combination of the pension from the company and Social Security basically equaled what they were earning during their working careers. Well, this got to be very expensive for companies to maintain. They figured out, well, number one, let's see if we can pass this on to somebody else. So what they did is they got rid of what we called then defined benefit pension plans. They still exist if you work for the government. And they came up with contribution plans, which is basically what you know is the 401k program. The second thing that happened is with medical technology, people began to live longer. Life expectancy has increased, and I'll get into how that affects you on withdrawals in just a moment here. And then the third thing that happened in this low interest rate environment that we exist in today, you basically are getting very little on your money. I mean, if you get 1, maybe 2% in a bank, you'd be lucky. I mean, right now, 10-year treasuries are a little over 2%. So in the past, prior to the advent of 401k plans, companies basically offered a defined benefit annuity. That's what it was. It essentially guaranteed the employee a monthly pension that they, more importantly, could not outlive, and that was usually based on a certain percentage of their salary. When, as I mentioned, you combine that with Social Security, most people, Chris, when I got in the business, anything that they had saved up in the way of investments, it was kind of like icing on the cake. Their living expenses really were covered by the company pension and Social Security. So what Congress is trying to do here is offer the annuity option, and so that would allow future retirees the same option that, let's say, their parents used to have with defined benefit plans based on their savings versus, let's say, taking a lump sum now, trying to manage their savings in a low interest rate in a highly valued, let's say, volatile stock market. I mean, just look at the volatility in the stock market just in the last, what, 6, 7, or 8 months. So at least with the annuity option, they can receive a monthly income that's closer to their salary versus the investment option and trying to navigate volatile and, let's say, unpredictable markets. So overall, in my opinion, this bill enhances retirement savings and planning. It is one reason, for example, in our own practice, we will use immediate annuities at our firm to guarantee a certain level of income that our clients can't outlive. And one reason this bill is being offered is to handle the very issue that many retirees face today, which is longevity. Let's face it, people are living longer, so they're going through their savings at a much faster rate. Add in, let's say, today's low interest rate environment as we now have today, which looks like it's going to be extended much longer, especially now after last week when the Fed talked about lowering interest rates again. Folks, we could be going right back down to zero interest rates in the next couple of years. So I think it's a good bill, which enhances workers' options when they retire.
Well, let's keep our fingers crossed on the Fed. We don't want to get too excited, but hopefully that's going to come to pass. Let's go ahead and move on to the next subject from our listeners, which is regarding retirement plans such as 401ks, Roth IRAs, and Roth 401ks.
The collapse of traditional pensions is what is driving what we call self-directed plans, whether it's a 401k plan, IRAs, or Roth versions of both, either a 401k or IRA. Now, according to the Investment Company Institute, 60% of retirement assets are in self-directed retirement accounts. So making the most of these plans is important for everyone's retirement plan when you're thinking about your future. So let's talk about the different plans. To begin with, any money you put in a 401k plan is a tax-deductible expense. It comes off, if you look at the front page of your tax return, we don't have very many of these things left anymore, but it comes right off the top on page one. So you get a tax deduction. If you put $10,000 in a 401k plan, that's $10,000 you're not paying federal or state taxes. So there is an incentive to do this. In addition, most 401k plans have employer matching contributions of some sort. So there's additional matching funds contributing by, let's say, your employer that also helps build up your retirement nest egg. So if you have a plan at work, this should be your first option if you're thinking of putting money aside for your retirement. And by the way, as we covered in earlier programs, the earlier you start, the more money you're going to have at retirement because of the magic of compounding. Now, the advantages, let's say, of a 401k plan is your contributions are tax deductible and you may benefit from matching contributions from your employer. Right now, the limits are $19,000 a year, $25,000 if you're age 50 or over, and here's a big one. For many of you that are self-employed that are putting in 401k plans, remember the other side of your contribution is the employer contribution. And employer contributions can range from $31,000 to $37,000 by the employer depending on your age. So it's basically either $62,000 or $56,000 or $62,000, depending if you're age 50 and over. So those are some of the big advantages of contributing to a 401k plan. You get the tax deduction, you get the employer contribution, and depending on your salary or how generous your employer is, you can actually put a combination of up to $62,000 a year into a 401k plan. You multiply that times 25, 30 years, that's a lot of money.
Well, and a lot of folks talk about the pros and cons of a Roth versus a traditional. So let's spend a moment talking about that. What about Roth IRAs and Roth 401ks as compared to traditional IRAs and regular 401ks?
I mean, I'm a big proponent of Roth, but let's talk about some of the disadvantages. And the one of them, the disadvantage of a Roth IRA or a Roth 401k is there isn't a tax deduction when you make a contribution. So let's say you put $10,000 a year into a 401k plan, and let's just say you're in a 30% tax bracket. Well, if you make a $10,000 contribution to a Roth 401k, or let's say a regular Roth IRA, which is only $6,000 to $7,000, depending on if you're age 50 or over, guess what? You owe 30% tax on that $10,000 contribution because you get no tax deduction. So you still owe, that will be included in your taxable income for the year. You compare that to if you put $10,000 into a regular 401k, you're going to save $3,000 versus pay $3,000. So if you look at it, it's a delta change of almost $6,000. So that's one of the disadvantages. So when you make Roth contributions, you have to take into account the additional taxes you're going to have to be paid because, once again, those Roth contributions aren't tax deductible. Now, the payoff, and here's the good part, from having a Roth is on the back end when it comes time you need the money for, let's say, your heirs. The Roth is 100% tax-free as long as it was inside the Roth for 5 years. And here's the more important part. When you turn age 70 and a half, you have to take out mandatory distributions or you can get fined a tax penalty of 50%. Now, at age 70 and a half, it starts out at roughly about equivalent of about 3.7%. So in the, let's just round off the number. Let's say you have $100,000. You would have to take out $3,700 in year one. Now, that's where if you have a Roth, you don't have to do that. The other thing, there are no additional taxes due. Anything you take out of a Roth is tax-free for your life, and it's tax-free for your heirs. Now, this will come in handy when you retire, as more retirees are going to be finding themselves in higher tax brackets than they anticipate when they retire. The trend, and we've emphasized this in the last couple of weeks, I don't care who's going to be president the next decade, which party controls Congress, folks, taxes are going to be going up in the next decade, no matter who resides in the White House or which party controls Congress. The problem with your regular IRA or your IRA rollover is those mandatory withdrawals at age 70 and a half. Now, the new law would extend that to age 72, but you're still going to run a problem. Now, let me give you an example. At age 70, your life expectancy is 27 years. You'd have to take out about 3.7%. Fast forward at age 75, your life expectancy is 23 years. You have to take out 4.4% a year. At age 80, your life expectancy is 19 years. You have to take out 5.4%, 6.8% at age 85, and almost 9% at age 90. So as I just illustrated in those examples, the problem with your IRA or IRA rollover is every single year your distributions have to go up. And what that's going to do, it could put you in a higher tax bracket. You're stuck in now a high tax bracket. And more importantly, you could be spending down your principal rapidly. How many of you are earning 9% right now? Think of what happens when you have to take out 9% of your IRA each year. And then on top of that, pay taxes. So in the case of a Roth, there are none of the RMD or mandatory distribution issues or the need to make distributions that would rise from, let's say, 3% to over 10% as you age.
Now, Jim, what makes more sense? I mean, should you start out in a Roth or should that come later? What's your advice on implementing a Roth?
You know what makes sense to do is when, let's say, you're starting out your working career, you're in a lower tax bracket, you may not be married, you're not thinking of saving up for a house or, you know, putting aside money for your children's education, you might want to start out with a Roth IRA or, let's say, a Roth 401k. Then, as you move up in your career, you advance, income goes up, you have other priorities. Now you need the tax deduction. Maybe you switch over at that time to a regular 401k, get the tax deduction. Then, later on, when you retire, do some tax planning with individuals like ourselves or your advisor. Then begin to convert your IRAs into Roth IRAs when you're in a lower tax bracket, or let's say you're living in a tax-free state. We covered this last week. We talked about two plans that we worked on. One was a gentleman that was selling his business, and he moved to a tax-free state, and we did a lot of Roth conversions, and we're doing it right now for a doctor who plans to retire in 5 years. We are gradually converting part of his pension into a Roth IRA, because the idea is when he retires, he wants to take money out of his Roth. Remember, you have to keep it there for 5 years for it to be tax-free. So the plan is when he retires 5 years from now, his Roth will be tax-free and will remain tax-free for his entire lifetime, his wife, and it'll go tax-free to his kids.
Jim, as a final topic, just so we're covering all the bases on this issue, what about Roth conversions?
You know, I believe, Chris, they make a lot of sense, assuming that, let's say, when you retire, you're going to be in a lower income tax bracket. And number two, you're living in either a no or a low tax state. Most, I would say almost a third, and that percentage is increasing more as California keeps raising tax. Believe it or not, folks, we just raised our gas tax again. That's after last year. They're raising it again beginning July 1st. So, Chris, over a third of our retirees in California are choosing to move to no tax or low tax states. Popular destinations for retirement, Nevada, Arizona, which is a low tax state, Texas and Florida, along with Nevada, which are no tax states. So, you know, that's what we're doing right now with two large cases we're working on, and it's going to turn out beautifully for these individuals. They're going to be in a no-tax environment when they retire. Now, we're gradually converting Roth or IRAs to Roths. So, for example, as I mentioned, you're not going to be facing mandatory distributions at age 70 and a half or maybe age 72 when this new bill gets passed. You're not going to have higher taxes later on in life as those distributions increase. And more importantly, you're going to enjoy tax-free income the rest of your life, and more importantly, your children, when they inherit, if there's anything to inherit that's left, they're not going to pay taxes. So I'm a big proponent of doing both Roth conversions at retirement, during retirement, or before retirement, as we're doing with the two cases we talked about on the show last week. So more and more of our tax deductions are being taken away by the politicians. And once again, no matter what promises are made in this election cycle, folks, I hate to tell you the bad news. Your taxes are going to be going up no matter who lives on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue or what party controls Congress. There's just the government is running out of money and its expenses are rising faster than the rate of inflation. So my advice, take advantage of any means you can to reduce your taxes now and in the future.
Well, we do want to thank you for listening to this edition of Lifetime Income. And as you can tell, we value your feedback. So please do continue to let us know what topic you'd like us to do a show about, or even what guest you'd like us to have on the program. And in fact, please tell us what you thought of this show that you just finished listening to. We really appreciate your involvement, and it's very easy to contact us. Just go to financialsense.com, and there's a link right at the top that says Contact Us. Now, I should also mention that on tomorrow's edition of Lifetime Income, we've got a special guest, Philomena Andre from AAA. She'll be talking about inside information as it relates to travel. So promotions, cruise options, European travel. She's even going to cover the growing trend of solo travel. And she also explains why there's still value in going through a travel agent. So if you enjoy travel, this is a show that you do not want to miss. That's tomorrow on Lifetime Income.
And Chris, also will be updating them on your possible inheritance and Roth conversion. So anyway, folks, in the meantime, on behalf of Chris Prytower and myself, and once again, we do appreciate your input and hope we answered the questions that we got recently. We got one on the new retirement bill, which we covered today. And another question was, you know, what should I use? Should I use a Roth? When do I use a Roth? So we hope we address those issues. We appreciate you calling into the program and let us know what you're thinking, because we'd like to cover it. We're always looking for topics of interest to you, our listener. In the meantime, on behalf of Chris Prytower and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.